anointed woman of God who hears from the Lord and who sometimes so precisely. And so would you honor with me Lisa Ann Wooldridge?
All I'm hearing is feedback. Is it on? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Okay. Can you hear me? Okay. Hi. No? You know what? Suzanne, I'll just take that. Thank you. I think this is better anyway. It'll give me something to do with my hands. Hi, everybody. Whoa. Now, some of you guys have been throwing buckets at me. You're going to need to quit for just a little while. I am so excited to be here and to be sharing with you guys tonight. It's just so awesome. God is so good. Everything we've been asking for lately, He's just been doing it. He's been doing it and far above what we can ask, far above what we can even guess for. I just want to share with you quickly last night. I want to say thank you to our team of Blazing Fire people who showed up at Jubilee and helped out last night. You guys rocked. You were awesome. You were wonderful. Thank you for helping. And I got to just declare and just say that revival has started at Jubilee. Yeah, it has started. And it's going to explode there. It's going to explode. It's just amazing to see what God is doing there. And I've been seeing sort of a cross between a promised land and Jubilee on the peninsula, just kind of like I've been seeing angels digging a trench between the two churches, and I'm like, oh, what's that for? And God says, you know, it's been hard ground for a long time on the peninsula, but I want the river to run through it, and as a permanent thing, a permanent work, not just a temporary, you know, wash or a temporary flood, but it's going to be a permanent work there. So those two are sort of like meeting in the middle. And do you know where the middle is? My house, right in the middle, equidistant between the two churches. So I was like, okay, you know, I'll just raise the levee and, you know, turn the water on and leave the tap running and we're all good, right? Yeah. So, yeah, it's awesome. Pray for those guys because it's just such a fulfillment of so many words, you know, from San Francisco to San Jose and over to Sacramento. And we really want to see this be a glory triangle. Wow. Yeah. Okay, now, you guys bear with me. I'm going to try to turn this on. How do I turn it on, Edwin? I don't know how. Try a button. Pray it on. Woohoo! Wow, that worked. Whew, that's good. Okay, tonight I'm just calling this Extreme Makeover Heart Edition. So, in case you've seen the, you know, the TV show. First, they had Extreme Makeover where they redid the person. I so wanted to go on that show. But I didn't think I could handle it. I didn't think I could handle the exposure. Then they did Extreme Makeover Home Edition where they do, you know, houses and all that sort of stuff. So that's what kind of gave me that idea for this is that, you know, something extreme has happened to us. Something extreme. Our hearts have been renovated and remodeled in a really extreme way. Okay, I'm just going to leave that there for a second. All these technical toys are new to me. I want to tell you guys about a dream I've been having, and you're all in it. So, the first time I dreamed this was New Year's Eve, like maybe probably just right over in after midnight somewhere. I went to bed and had this dream, and it was really amazing. This really proper-looking Jewish rabbi showed up in my dream. Now, I'm not talking about one of those, you know, fiddler-on-the-roof rabbis. and talking about like a proper modern rabbi with the prayer shawl and the little beanie and, you know, just a proper blue and white rabbi, you know. So and he had a shaker that looked like a big salt shaker with bigger holes. So if that's a real thing, somebody tell me later because I don't know what it is. But it was full of water. And he was sprinkling it on me, and he was saying, L'chaim, 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 just over and over and over and over. And I was just getting so blown away in the dream. And I was like, oh, God, what's this about? Because I didn't know, I'd never heard that word. I've been since told that it's a very common word, but I had never heard it. And I'm a word person, so it surprised me. And but I didn't know how to spell it. And I told the Lord in the dream, I said, you need to tell me how to spell that because I cannot Google it if you do not tell me how to spell it. So it was actually printed out for me, and an angel brought me the word on a printed out piece of paper. So that, and I was like, L-dash, you know, I was like memorizing it and holding on to it. And, you know, I was just trying all night long to hold on to that word so that when I woke up, I would remember what that word was. I thought off all kinds of other dreams, and, you know, I was like, no, I can't dream you now. I have to hold on to this. So, but it was really interesting. He gave me that word, and there were two more. And next time I'll remember to ask for the spelling of all words that I get in a dream because I wasn't sure. There was a couple of other words. So I'm gonna just go. I guess I'm gonna do the first one before I this way. No. Okay, pray for it again, Edwin. It loves me. Woohoo! Can you guys read that? Okay, great. L'chaim means to life or live, be refreshed, revived, brought back to life, abundant, good life, overflowing with life. And then, you know, I was like, well, this is a good word. I think I'm going to look it up in another resource. And it said, be quickened, restored from sickness, discouragement, faintness, death, caused to grow, preserve, keep alive and well, nourish, save, spare, surely live. Extreme degree of life. And so I'm sitting at my computer going, I am so glad I asked for the spelling on this word. I was like, wow, this is just really amazing, God. This is an amazing word. And I just heard a whisper from the Holy Spirit in my ear, the four living creatures. And I looked it up, and it's the same word. They're called living creatures because they have the same l'chaim, this kaya, this life in them. So I know it's like they've always been called the four living creatures, and I always thought, well, of course they're not dead, so you know why the descriptive, right? Now I know. Yeah, there's a reason for stuff in the Bible. There's a reason. And I am, yes, just figuring that out. Okay. Now also in my dream, another word was given to me. And I'm telling you guys this because it does play in for all of you guys. Bless it. Oh, okay. See, that was my little pictorial for L'chaim. To bloom like a flower, you know, suddenly vibrant with life. Also, too, I just like to look at really pretty things. So Brent can have his bunnies. These are my flowers. Okay. Now, the second word that the angel gave me was katana. And I wasn't sure if it was this spelling or that spelling, so I looked them both up. And one is ancient Byzantine Greek, which means an encampment, a victorious occupying force, soldiers who have won the battle and taken a territory to bring in a new government. Whew. A tent city of conquerors. And when I saw the tent city part, oh, I just got goosebumps. So I was like, whoa, that's really good. Because if you think about, you know, an angel encampment, or if you think about us, you know, we're tents. We are tents of, you know, his presence. And we are an occupying force, you know, victorious, already conquerors, more than conquerors. So I was like, well, that's got to be it. So just for fun, I looked up the other spelling, and it's Japanese for a warrior sword. And I thought, well, hey, we'll take that too. it's like God so knows what he's doing when he gives you a dream, right? He knows what he's doing. Okay, so here's my visual for that. Let's see. If I'm going to live in a tent, it's going to be the Martha Stewart version, okay? If I'm going to be an occupying force, bring in the government of God, I'm going to live in a tent like that, okay? for those of you listening on the podcast, it's really pretty. So, yeah. It even has a sink. See the sink in the back? Yeah. That's my kind of camping. Okay. All right. Now, the next word that I was given was really amazing. It was, Edwin, are you doing that or am I? Okay. I'll just put this down. It sounded like Yasu or Yazoo, something like that. And I was like, what on earth could that one be? You know, I was like, I'm probably not going to find anything for this word. I had never heard any of these words. And I thought, well, 2 out of 3. Really good, right? 2 out of 3. But no, look at this. And what's really, really funny is when I ran it by Andrew, he said, oh, I bet that's some other language's name for Jesus. I'm like, yeah, whatever. You know, I just totally dismissed that thought. And I'm sorry, honey. And it, you know, I thought, oh, well, that can't possibly be that good, right? It can't possibly be that good. But it was. And actually, Cindy, who's not here tonight, she actually called me up. She says, you know, I bet it's Arabic. You should look at the Arabic because you've got Greek and Hebrew. So why not Arabic? You might as well cover the whole Middle East in your dream. You know, I'm like, thank you, Cindy. So, yeah, I looked it up. Actually, someone in Australia randomly emailed me a history of the word Yasu. Yeah, it's the name for Jesus in Christian Arabic. Okay, in Muslim Arabic, they say Isa, because he's just a prophet and the stress is all different for it. You know, I don't understand it all, but I get a whole history lesson on it at home. But the Christians who call Jesus, you can always tell an Arabic speaker as to what their religion is by how they call Jesus, Isa or Yasu. And that's, you know, if you're in Egypt, you're really careful about which one you use, you know, because the Coptic Christians and the Muslims, and as a matter of fact, they just don't say it, you know, because the two groups are so at odds about it. But so all the Christians who use Arabic call him Yasu. And I was like, wow, this is just amazing. So this is Jesus here. And also, Yasu is ancient Greek for healer, one who heals and restores to wholeness. Yeah, I thought, wow, this dream is really good. This is a really good dream. Now, this man was, you know, saying this over me, you know, as he was sprinkling this clean water out of a shaker over me and saying these words. And so I kept hold of him, and I thought, oh, this is really awesome. So I looked all these words up. I didn't know what to do with it, but slowly this picture started to build up in my heart about what it might mean, you know. This is a picture of us. You know, we're the occupying force. We're healed. Jesus did this work. We're whole. He's done this thing. He's done this amazing thing. He's brought us to a place of such abundant life that every time we breathe, it's rainbows and sparkles. It's so alive. You know, so when I blow out my breath at Dan, it's rainbows and sparkles. It's just living. It's this breath and spirit of God in us, and we're so alive. It's abundant life beyond what you can imagine or I could make up to tell you. So, you know, I sat here and tried to find some really just exorbitant ways of describing how alive we are. And I kept running into the little problem of, oh, that's biblical. So I'm just going to skip trying to over-dramatize it and tell you that we are really fully, fully alive. We bring life wherever we go. We bring life. If you're walking across a desert, it's blooming behind you. You know, that's how we bring life. You know, I had dreams of where we would walk and just seeds would be sown behind us and bloom within minutes, you know, just like so that the whole desert was carpeted, but just because we walked there. We leave behind puddles. We leave behind the river of God. We leave behind the seed of everything that he's doing just because we're agreeing with him as we walk. So, yeah. So here's my visual for the Yasu. That's blazing fire, Jesus. That's kitchen revival, Jesus. This is happy Jesus. I Googled forever trying to find a happy, smiling, painted Jesus, and I couldn't find one. You know, they all looked scary or not right or something. It was just something. But then I found this college student who was in a film, and he was just, this is John the disciple, John the Baptist, or no, it was the disciple John behind him, and they were cracking up. They couldn't quit laughing the whole time. They were like rolling on the floor. So I thought, what a true picture. This is our Jesus. This is the one who rolls in the kitchen floor with us. This is the happy laughing Yasu there. So, yeah, I just like that picture. He's got good reason to laugh, right? I mean, is he walking around all sad and somber and worried about if we're going to mess up tomorrow? And, you know, gosh, is Tina going to get her dishes done? Or, you know, I mean, is he worried that we're going to blow it? I mean, is he just standing around ringing? Is it? No, he's laughing. It's all been done. He's laughing. Okay, so moving on. We're coming into the makeover part. Oh, wait, I have to tell you just a little bit about I'm going to just black that for a second. I have to tell you about the rest of the dream, how you guys fit into it. I told Suzanne a little bit. The Jewish guy's been coming back in my dreams. He's showing up again. So I dreamed that we were actually in a big building, like way bigger than here. It was almost like an industrial complex or whatever. And there was a corner and I was worshiping in it. And, you know, it was like there were interruptions to worship. But then the Jewish man showed up. And he started speaking L'chaim over me again, you know, and all of a sudden he gave me his Jewish rabbi powers. You know, it's a dream. It's a dream. And suddenly I had his little shawl and I had, you know, I was like, and suddenly, you know how the guys worship like at the wall, how they're all like, you know, like this, you know, that sort of rocking back and forth, really focused prayer. Well, what's it? Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Thank you. Yeah, well, they were rocking, you know, they rocked back and forth. Well, suddenly I was doing that. It was sort of like crunches to an extreme degree. And it was just like a wave of worship. A wave of worship was released, you know, in there. It was like really focused, really. And, you know, Suzanne was across the room looking at me and smiling and all the, you know, like all you guys were there. I was just seeing the whole, actually all you guys and a whole bunch more. So I don't know if they were angels or people or what, but the room was packed with worshipers. So, yeah, anyway, if you see a little Jewish guy, say hi for me. Okay? He really is sweet. I'm not going to tell you. Okay. There we go. We'll get to that. All right. Oh. Can you go back a couple of screens to New Heart, New Life? Oh, all my secrets are just... Maybe Edwin can put us back there. Oh, okay, everybody close your eyes. Close your eyes, 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 close your eyes. Nobody look, nobody look, nobody look. The end, I'm done. Well, at least now you have something to look forward to, right? Oh, no, back, Becky. Just... Oh. Yay! Woo! Thank you guys. Is my face really red? Okay. Okay, so does that say Ezekiel 36 up there? Okay. Okay, great. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, just like the man in the dream was doing, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. It's good. It's a good word. Now, you guys have all heard, and I'm not even going to read the whole verse because some people just like, you know, glom onto it and they never go any further, but you guys have all heard Jeremiah, I think it's 17, you know, where they say that the heart is deceitfully wicked and who can know it. And, you know, people point to that and say, oh, my heart just can't be trusted. You know, I can't trust my own. Well, I just would suggest that you read the rest of Jeremiah. Okay, so here's God's solution to that problem. Dale's loving this. this is God's fix for it. Okay, does it say Jeremiah 33 up there? That's a small screen. Okay, Jeremiah 31, 33 through 34. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days. After what days? Yeah, those days. The days that, you know, something he changes, right? Something big is going to happen. I will put my law within them, and on their hearts I will write it. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they will no more teach each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, understand, and be acquainted with me, it says in the in the Amplified. From the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will seriously remember theirs. The Amplified honestly says seriously there. I almost wore a t-shirt tonight that says seriously. Seriously. But yes, he seriously will not remember our sins anymore. What sins? He says, what sins are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, so that's what happens, right? We're taken sort of from the old to the new, or that place where, yeah, our hearts were bad, but now God has this big solution, this big fix, a big bug fix. If you're in the computer world, it's a bug fix, you know, in our operating software. So, okay, Edwin, can you go? Let's see if it goes. Didn't go for me. Go one slide. This is a picture called Underwater Worship. And it was like the picture of baptism to me. It was just so beautiful. I was like, oh, it looks so natural and so relaxed and so pretty, right? I mean, it's just like this is the deep baptizo sozo picture to me, you know? It's like, wow, she's going to come up out of that feeling really good. Okay, and one more slide. Okay, you guys remember the parable of the sower, right? Yeah, you remember that? And, you know, we all learned that one in Sunday school. So which one of those four types are we? The ones with the stony soil or no? Yep, we're the ones with the good soil. Because, I mean, you're sitting here, right? So this applies to you. This is. I want to tell you, if you have not really thought about yourself in that context, when you read the story again, you're the one with the good soil. Okay, you're the one that the seed was planted into nicely. Okay, just now I want to take it a little bit further. You know, because our hearts, if they're that good soil and the gospel is planted in them, what's it going to grow? It's going to grow a bumper crop. And of what? I mean, what kind of, it's like, oh, fruit. Yeah. And that's going to increase, right? It's not going to just be a seed that never germinates, right? It's not just an introduction to Jesus and then we're saved and then that's the end of the relationship until we get to heaven, right? And we just try to be good. You know, no, there's more to it. So I just want to take it a little further. Okay, so I'm going to start in the book of Colossians. So for those of you who like to do the old-fashioned thing and thumb the book, you can mark your Bible up. This is a good opportunity to do that. Okay, we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. He's talking to the Colossians, who were a bunch of people who got saved that Paul hadn't actually met yet. And he says, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel which has come to you, just as in all the world also, it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God and truth. So the gospel wasn't only just increasing and bearing fruit in the world, but it's increasing and bearing fruit in the believer, right? It's not just a one-stop deal. It actually grows. It actually produces fruit. Okay, so I'm going to cover a little bit more of that. But Edwin, if you could go forward one more. I really think this thing doesn't like me. Okay. This is how we were before Jesus, right? Now, this list was off the top of my head. And if you really need scriptures for them, you can Google them. You can Google that. But before Jesus, our heart was desperately wicked. We were lost, dying, apart from God, an enemy of God, sinful. And I mean every kind of sin and depravity. We had a sin nature, old man, flesh problem with that. A darkened mind. We were oppressed, captive, bound, poor, afflicted, brokenhearted, prisoners, mourning, fainting, blind, lonely, illegitimate, striving, trying to appease God, and under the law. Whew. Doesn't it just make you feel bad for everybody you know who's not saved? It's like, huh. If you can remember being that way, aren't you glad you're not that way now? Yeah. Whew. That was before Jesus. Okay, that was before Jesus. This is a problem, right? This is a problem being this way. So one more, Edwin, if you don't mind. After Jesus. After Jesus, we have a new good heart. We are found. We're not lost anymore. We're alive forevermore. We're reunited with God. Sorry. And it feels so good. Sorry. For those of you who are going to be singing Reunited in your head all week, I apologize. I couldn't help it. And it feels so good. Now we are a friend of God. We are righteous. We're holy. We have a new nature, new man, circumcised flesh. We have a renewed mind, the mind of Christ. We are at liberty, which is a big word. And we're free, we're rich, we're wholehearted, we're declared innocent and released, rejoicing in gladness, mantle of praise. We can now see because we're no longer blind. We're adopted, we're resting and not striving. We are pleasing to God because we have faith. And we are under the law of the Spirit of life. Woohoo! Yeah? Woohoo! And now I just want to address the Romans 7 problem. Read it with Romans 6 and 8 on either side and you'll see it my way. Okay? Always read Romans 7 in context with 6 and 8. So there you go. That's your free advice for today. Okay? Come back tomorrow. There'll be more. Okay. Edwin, if you could go. This is a picture of us before and after. I love this movie. It just doesn't get any worse than that. You know, it just doesn't get any worse than the frazzled, tired, unhappy, unanointed, just really not in a good way picture there. And then this is us now. Crowned, walking down the aisle to meet our beloved. Whew. Just, do you see the difference? I love that movie. Go get it if you haven't seen it. So, it's The Princess Diaries. It's just, yeah. Because, you know, it just has such an eternal truth in it that we are royal sons and daughters. We really are. Okay. Edwin? Thank you. Now, this is where we were and where we are now. I want to just make it clear because our geographic location in the spiritual realm is really important. Colossians 1:13, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. Notice it says domain of darkness. The word there is exousia, and if I'm mispronouncing it, could the Greek scholars not tell me? and it's a place where darkness had influence and the power of authority. It's not equal to a kingdom because it does not have a king. Okay? This is really important. Okay, and I want you to understand that we were transferred or removed from one place to the other. The word in the Greek there is really important. It's methistemi, and it means to depart from life, to die. Literally, when it says that we were removed from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his son, it really literally means through death we were traded places. Okay, it's really important to know that it's talking about being removed through a death. There, okay. And now we are in the kingdom of the Son of his love. Wow. And that's actually a better translation from the Greek than the kingdom of, you know, his beloved son. It's actually the Son of his love. Okay, and it's basileia. I don't usually like to do a lot of foreign words, but I thought, hey, since I started with it, I might as well. And it's Greek for a territory subject to the rule of a king, where there's royal power, kingship, dominion, and dignity of subjects. And it's so important to realize that because this condition of the subjects reflects on a king. The condition of the subjects reflects on the king. You can tell what kind of king a people have by the condition of his subjects. Yeah, you can just think on that for a minute. Ugh. So, do you think our king, Jesus, do you think he has a bunch of sad sack, sorry followers who just dressed in rags and not enough to eat and, you know, can't make it from one day to the next without rolling in the dust and crying, woe is me? Is that us? No. That was before Jesus. This is after Jesus, okay? Yeah. Okay, we have his life, indestructible, eternal, fully alive. Edwin, thank you. Everybody say thank you, Edwin. It should say Colossians 1. So, oh, wait, this is it. Yeah, this is a picture of my future house. I don't know if you can see it very well on the That screen actually looks better if you look behind you. I don't know if you can see that one, but it's a beautiful lake, a beautiful sky, and there's just a beautiful manor house that's, I'm claiming it. You all get your own. That one's mine, but you can come up with one you like. Okay. But that's where I live. I live in that kingdom. This is the kind of kingdom that I live in right there. Yeah. Whoa, you all want that too? To live in that kind of kingdom? Let's live in that kingdom. Okay. We'll just buy a neighborhood. Yeah, better than Narnia. Okay. All right, one more. Okay, Colossians. See, I like to throw those pretty pictures in there because if it was just all the text, I think I'd lose you. And as part of my quiet time every day, I go find a beautiful picture. That's just because I feel like that's one of the things we're meant to do, is to see beauty on a regular basis. And if you have a toddler at home, you don't get out much to see beauty on a regular basis. So this is... And the park is not all that beautiful, I gotta tell you. It's all skin, knees, and sand. It's just not, you know. Okay, Jesus. We're talking about Jesus here. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. They endure. They have their continued being only because he holds them together. Did you know if he wasn't the glue in your atoms holding you together, you would just, you're gone, you know? Not only would the breath go out of you, but you would just dissipate. You would just completely dissolve if God wasn't, you know, because Jesus made it all through him, by him, for him, and he's the substance of things hoped for. He is, I mean, literally, I'm not a pantheist. I don't believe God is in the chair over there, you know, unless he's sitting on it. But I don't believe he is the chair or the dog or the stick, you know. But what I'm saying is the very substance of every created thing came from his breath and his life and his word. Okay, so it wouldn't endure without his willing it so. Okay, all right. He's also the head of the body, the church. Okay, let me just stop there. If he's the head and we're the body, is he going to be this great, majestic, kingly head, little teeny bitty, scrawny little body? You know, that's sick. That just doesn't work. That's ridiculous, right? Yeah, no, but he's growing up the body to fit the head, right? He wants a helpmeet who is a perfect match for him. And he's determined to have it. He's done everything to make that possible. So when we say, oh, well, we're just nothing. We're lowly little worms. We're just crawling along and barely, you know, keeping God from zapping us with a lightning bolt. That's not who the body is. That's not who the bride is. That's not what he says. And that's not what he sees. Okay? Yeah, just so we're all straight. The body matches the head. Because God, like me, is into symmetry. We like symmetry. Things have to match. Okay. Yeah. It's the only reason I passed chemistry is because I had a love for symmetry. Otherwise, I didn't understand a thing. I didn't. Okay. Going on, Jesus is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Okay, so if he was the firstborn from the dead, who are the rest of the people following from the dead? Yeah, Dan and the rest of us. Yeah. Well, he was volunteering to be picked on. Okay. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. Now, when I looked that up, that was actually not quite translated the way that I think it might have been literally translated. And it was actually saying that all the fullness of deity, all of the Godhead was pleased to dwell in him. So the Father and the Holy Spirit were also part of that. They weren't separate. You know, he still had that perfect union and communion with them, even though he came in bodily form. I know it's a mystery. I don't understand it either. But just keep that in mind, that the fullness of God was in Jesus, okay? And where's Jesus now? You guys are so smart. Yep. So where's the fullness of the Godhead now? Yeah. Now, how scary is that? Yeah. Okay, but that's going to be important in a minute. Okay. And through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him, I say, whether things on heaven or in earth, And here's the, Paul really wants us to get this. He's saying over and over, I don't want you to be deceived. I want you to really get what grace really is. I want you to get a full understanding of the grace of the truth, you know, or the truth of the grace of God. And so, you know, just read Colossians for yourself. He's really struggling to make sure we get it. So he goes back and forth between the then and now pictures so that we really get it. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, that was then, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Okay, he died so we can live, and he did it through that death, that same methistomy. It was through his death that we were removed and that we are no longer walking in those things, but we're now reconciled to him. Okay, I think, let's see. I'm not sure if that's the end of that slide. Yeah, okay. Edwin, can you go one more? Okay, this is really good. He's talking about the mystery which has been hidden from past ages and generations, but now has been manifested to his saints. And the word there actually says holy ones, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, that's us, which is Christ in you, the hope, or rather sure expectation of glory. Okay, so that's talking about Jesus in us, right? Wow. And then he goes on to say, we proclaim him, Jesus, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom. And his idea of all wisdom is that they can present every man complete, and actually the word is perfect in Christ. He's saying, so I'm going around trying to teach you all that the hope of glory is in you, the full assurance of glory is in you, Christ is in you, and that means you're perfect, you're complete, you're whole, you're not messed up anymore. Oh, yeah, it actually says messed up, look it up. Yeah. Can you go to the next? Isn't that pretty? it's a pretty break. So, wouldn't you like to walk through that forest with Jesus? Doesn't that just look like a place full of adventure? Yeah? It's very refreshing and restful. Another second, or should I go? Okay, you're good. Can go, Edwin. Okay. Colossians 2:2-4. And I'm hitting the book of Colossians pretty hard because the Holy Spirit and Bobby Connor told me to. You all get to go with me. And this is Paul speaking again. He says, I desire that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding. The full assurance of understanding. He's talking about the total hope and assurance that we have and really knowing that, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery. That is Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, that's a mouthful. And I was saying, okay, Holy Spirit, what does this mean? You know, and he kind of just laughed and he said, who else is hidden in Christ and called his treasures? We are. So in him is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We have the spirit of wisdom. We've been given that spirit of wisdom. We're hidden in him. We're his treasures. We need to realize, we need to have the full understanding and the full knowledge that that's where our life is, that we are hidden in him, and we're fully covered, and we are his treasures. Well, and he's saying this. And he's trying to give us a good opinion of ourselves. He really is. He's trying to give you a better view of yourselves than you may have heard in other places or from other voices. And he says, I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. Because even back then, there were people going around saying, well, yeah, you're saved, but you're going to have to work really hard for the rest of your life to try to please God. You're saved, but you're still kind of a big, dirty mess, and it's going to take the rest of your life to get maybe a little more holy and make God happy with you. Because even from the beginning, there were people coming around with a different gospel. So, yeah, Paul was trying to put a stop to it right there. Okay, go on to the next. Are you guys doing okay? Anybody need to stand up and do some random dancing or anything? No? Okay. Okay. We'll get some dancers in the back. Ah, that's good. All right. Therefore, you, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted, this is you, and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the traditions of men. And he's actually talking about religion there. According to the elementary principles of the world, which says God is holy and you're not. And, you know, that was the elementary principles that were often, you know, referred to in scriptures, rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete or perfect. And he is the head over all rule and authority, especially those who try to tell you what you should and shouldn't do. Right? I have a really sweet, wonderful, anointed, highly thought of, and well-respected pastor friend who says you shouldn't should on yourself. You shouldn't. You shouldn't do it. So, and that's S-H-O-U-L-D for the broadcast. You should not do that. So, and he's not here to defend himself. Okay. But to me, those were words to live by. You shouldn't do that to yourself. Okay? All right. Okay, go on to the next. Let's see. Is that pretty? Isn't that nice? Wouldn't you like to have a quiet time right at the end of that pier? If you guys look back there, it's more purple. I put it on there because it was purple, but I'm not sure it comes through. It's a beautiful purple lake. Okay. Peaceful, right? That one's actually in there for me to calm me down because I knew by this point I'd be getting nervous. Okay, go, Edwin. Okay, Colossians 2:11 through 13. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Now, this is so important that we get this. In the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. What did he just say? What did he just say? I can hear Paul going, what did I just say? The removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Okay? Now that's literal. I checked. It's right there in the Greek. It's good. It's good to go. It's, yeah, the removal of the body of flesh. Okay, so do I have a flesh problem now? No? Why? Because he removed it. Yeah, by that heart circumcision. And he says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God. So God did this. We couldn't do it. We couldn't do this for ourselves. Who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh in the past, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. And that's our present. Now, I had a really, really brilliant thought. I had a really brilliant thought as I was reading this. I was like, wow. You know, so we don't even struggle with flesh and blood, not even our own. You know, and I thought, that's so original and cool. And I called my friend and told her my thought. And she said, you know, Chris Valentin's been saying that forever. I was so bummed out. I was like, I'm late to the party. But it's okay, because if I'm on the same page with Chris, then I'm doing okay. I'm doing good. So, yeah, we do not struggle with flesh and blood, not even our own. Not even our own. Okay? We don't have to struggle with that. And if anybody tells you that you do have to struggle with it, you send them to me, and I'll just tell them, no, they don't. They don't have to do that. And I'll show them that verse. Okay? Okay. Okay, next slide. Oh. Yeah. Look back there. Just make you guys look at the tighter screen. Can you see that? Or Canada. I think that's actually Canada. I go there. That's on my desktop. This is where I go in the spirit when I really need to be calm. Okay. Ooh. You guys know you can do that, right? That the spirit can just take you all over the world, right? You know that, right? You can just... Let him take you places. You'll be surprised at the places he'll take you. Okay, now Colossians 2, 14 through 17. Do you guys have something you want to share with the group? Okay, because you can. They're excited. Yay, I'm glad they're excited. But they look like they have revelation, so. She has a revelation? Okay, I'll make her share in a minute. Okay. Okay, and when the next slide. Okay, Colossians 2, 14 through 17. Now, I love this bit. I love this part. Dan, would you actually come up here and read this for me? I need to take a drink for a second. Can you read that for me? Can you see the screen?
From the screen? Colossians 2, 14 through 17. Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through it. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ.
Is that good or what? He's literally saying that all accusations against us, he's nailed them to the cross. He's overcome them by his cross. So anybody who accuses you, whether it be the accuser of the brethren or some of your brethren, it's all been nailed to the tree. He does not listen to accusation about us. And I just want to say that that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. I can just tell you the number of times that our own dear Pastor Brent has said, no, I won't listen to a negative word about another person. I won't listen to it. And that's such a beautiful example of this. Those accusations are canceled. Jesus canceled them. So we shouldn't listen to them either, right? If God's not listening to it, should we listen to it? No. So if the enemy comes to accuse you, should you listen to him? No. No. If someone else comes to accuse one of your brothers or sisters, should you listen to them? No. No, he shouldn't listen to that because those things, those decrees, those accusations are canceled. Dan, you did a really good job reading that. He even says he has disarmed them because they're up in arms against us. The accusers are up in arms against us. And he's saying nobody, nobody is your judge because of the lavish payment that was made on our behalves on the cross. Okay? Oh, I like this too. You know, he's saying in regard to food or drink or festivals or new moon or Sabbath, that's all, you know, law type stuff, you know, and anything to do with the law. And I wrote down, or whether you fast or feast or watch so you think you can dance or cut your hair, you know, nobody should be your judge on those things. The Holy Spirit is your leader, guider, and director. So, yeah. Yeah, okay, so I watch reality television now and then, right? Okay, now, everybody, you can see that. Repeat after me, okay? Or actually, just say it with me. The spirit of religion is not the boss of me. Woohoo! Let's do that again, because I don't think he heard us. Okay, let's do it again. The spirit of religion is not the boss of me. Wow, I think he's running down the road. Yeah, that's true, right? I have goosebumps. That was really good, you guys. Okay. Edwin, thank you. Okay, a little bit more. We're almost to the end. Wow. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement. And actually, the word there is humility. I don't know why the translators changed it, because in every other instance, they used humility there. So self-abasement, humility, whatever. Don't let anybody defraud you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement or humility, because that's not true humility. You know, it's just not. I love when Chris Vallotton talks about it, you know, like people go around demeaning themselves, like, oh, it was not me, it was God, you know, and he says, well, it wasn't that good, you know, and he goes on to point out that, you know, pointing out that a painting is beautiful doesn't cause the painting to be proud. No, it just reflects on the glory of the painter. Yeah, we're that painting. And we are really pretty amazing. We really are, because we're created in the image of God. We are the very picture. Jesus is the very picture of the invisible God. And Chris Vallotton also says, and Jesus sat for our portrait. So, you know, when people see us and when God sees us, they see Jesus. They see that image being formed in us. That's good. So yeah, none of that. Yeah, it's good. So if I say, Suzanne, you did such a good job last night helping with the intercession, are you going to say, well, it wasn't really me? Are you going to say that? No, she's not going to say that. She's going to say, thank you. That's what she's going to say. Because, yeah, she's nodding just for the broadcast. She's nodding yes. Because it brings God glory, right? I mean, the condition of his subjects reflects on a king, right? It's really true. So, yeah. Okay. I like this next bit. If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, which is God is holy, you're not, deal with it. Why? If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to such decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with use in accordance with the teaching and commandments of men? He's saying basically, why do you put up with guilt and manipulation from those who don't have a true understanding of grace? Why do you do that? Why do you put up with the guilt and manipulation from those who do not have a true understanding of grace? Don't do it. Just don't do it. Yeah. These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and humility or self-abasement and severe treatment of the body. You know those people who say you have to fast 40 days or you really haven't experienced God? There's a whole group of them like that. I ran into them in Dallas-Fort Worth at a Baptist missions conference when I was in college. They were there being missionaries to the Baptists, which I thought was kind of odd because they were there training to be missionaries to the world. So anyway, this group comes in and says, you know, if you guys aren't fasting 40 days, then you really haven't fulfilled your biblical mandate and experienced as much of God as you're meant to experience. Now, I'm not saying if God tells you to fast for 40 days, God be with you. You know, you can do whatever God tells you to do in that regard. But for these people who say you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to, dress only in ankle-length dresses with long sleeves to please God or whatever it is, you know, that's just, yeah, it's not good. Not good. And he's saying to be sure that these matters have the appearance of wisdom and self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but they are of no value against fleshly indulgence. So the very things that they are designed to try to keep you from, you know, falling into temptation here, running into sin there, they don't even work. Those things don't even work. They don't work. So they're just, they sound good on paper, but they don't work. Okay, repeat after me again. The spirit of religion is not the boss of me. Do you guys believe that? Yeah. Wow. So what are we supposed to be doing from here on out? I'm going to finish. Edwin, can you do the Dewey? Isn't that nice? Look at that. What does that remind you of? Yeah, it reminds me of the burning bush, the tree that was on fire and wasn't consumed. I just really like that one. Look up there. It's just, yeah, it's amazing. If you guys want these, just give me your email address and I'll email you some of the pictures. Okay. So what are we supposed to be doing? Edwin. Yeah. This is from Ephesians 1:17-19. You remember how earlier on he was saying that after he gave us a new heart, you know, and put his spirit in us, that the thing was is that, you know, I wasn't going to say to Rose or to Jan, I was going to say know the Lord because we'd all know him, right? Well, that's what we're about now. That's what we're about now. That's He's our passion. He's our prize. He's what we're after. He's what we pursue. But we have total open access, so we really can know the Lord. We really, really can be a friend of God. And that's what his heart is for. Oh, I just want to tell you one thing. Speaking of Romans, you guys know the verse that says the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, you know, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, if you're Pentecostal, Holy Spirit, if you're anything else. So it's righteousness, joy, and peace. I had somebody actually tell me, well, yeah, we're saved, and yeah, we've got this great, you know, thing going on here, but we can't be joyful all the time. We can't be joyful all the time. Bad stuff happens. We can't be joyful. I'm like, I am guaranteed three things. My righteousness, my peace, and my joy. No matter what else is going on, right? Okay, I just knew that would preach, but I didn't know where it fit. So, okay. All right, so Ephesians, right here. 1:17-19. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, wow, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and a revelation in the knowledge of him. I'm even trying to figure out what that means still. But a spirit of wisdom and a revelation in the knowledge of him. He wants to keep revealing himself to you. Every day, every hour, every minute, he wants it to be a revelation of himself to you. Wow. Expand our hearts and minds so that we can apprehend you more. Wow. Okay. Ha. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. That means filled with light. May be filled with light so that you will know what is the hope, assurance of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? That's us, the holy ones. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? So yeah, your heart's good. Let's go forward. Okay? That was then. This is now. We're not looking at this anymore. We're over here. We're looking in the eyes of Jesus and having our hearts illuminated and enlightened so that we can see an ever greater revelation of who he is. Yeah. Are we like the luckiest people on the planet? I'm sorry, blessed. Are we not the most blessed people on the planet? Oh, wait. The spirit of religion is not the boss of me, right? Okay, yeah, I'm lucky and blessed. I'm not going to worry about that one anymore. Okay. Are y'all getting that? Is that good? Yeah. Is there one more slide, Edwin, or is that the end? Yeah, okay. Go for it. This is what it looks like to know God. Yeah, everybody turn around because it's just way better back there. They counted and there were like 7 layers of clouds in this picture. 7 layers of clouds coming in from winds in all 4 directions. And the water that was on the surface, it's actually over the ocean. The water from the ocean was sprayed up in such a way that it caused a rainbow that high. Yeah. So it was just like, it was just a really amazing phenomenon. And you know what? Those clouds in the front, they look like little galaxy-type nebula clusters to me. So it's kind of cool. But I was just like, wow, look at the amazing mystery that we get to dive into. When I think of the cloud of his glory, I think it looks like that before it hits you. Yeah, I think it looks kind of like that before it hits you. And then you're just in the middle of it, and all you see is sort of fog and lights, you know? Pretty colored lights. Okay, we have a treat for you guys. Can I have the prophetic team people come up? We're going to give some prophetic words. And then after that, we're going to have some prayer teams come up, and we're going to pray for everybody, give words to people, pray for what you need, what your needs are. Any area where you're feeling held back, we're going to pronounce L'chaim over you. Okay, so L'chaim. Okay, so if I talk to you prophetic team people, any of the youth that want to do it. So Bill, Gina, Anna. Did Anna go away? Oh, Paula, can you come up? Susan, Russ, like it. Helen. Yeah. Okay. Is there anybody here who's just graduated Kingdom Training and really feels super prophetic? Wave. Patricia? Okay. Oh, wait, you're pointing us. No, the person has to volunteer themselves. Paula, thank you. Okay, this is good. We can work with this. All right. Thank you guys for all coming. I was afraid we wouldn't have enough people. So we're just going to CD. Edwin, can you change the CD so we can put in a new one? Thank you. He's going to tell us when he's ready. Bill, will you just pray over us for giving words?
Okay. All right, everybody, close the receive mode. Receive mode. Holy Spirit, come. We ask for revelation. We ask for a spirit of revelation to fall. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your creative words to be released on people in this room. We ask for power and anointing on each of the team members here. We lose boldness. We lose courage. Amen. Inspiration. Thank you, Lord. More. More. I see like this cloud is beginning to descend, and we're just going to wait for a minute as it just, I can see it's already on the tops of your heads, and it's just coming down more and more. It's down to your shoulders. Whoa. It's down to your knees. Wow, it's down to your feet. Wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, all right. All right. There's this gal that just came in the back right there. You in the white. You. And when I saw you earlier, I felt like the Lord was just, he was saying friendship with God. And he wants to draw you in into a deeper relationship. And I feel like he's calling you to just knock on the door and he's going to answer. He says you already have an amazing relationship with him and he's inviting you into a deeper place. And there's this gal right here with sunglasses on her head. Right there. Yeah, that's you. And I felt like the Lord was showing me it's been a bumpy road, but now the road is going to be like butter before you. It's like anointed before you and smooth, and you're going to just go sliding. He's going to be making it easy for you. What's your name? Kathy? All right, Kathy. And then there's this gal right here in the red hair, right there, you. You just looked at your friend, you. And I felt like the Lord was saying, there's going to be a radical shift in your life. It's coming. And it's sort of like a car that you, when you put it into second gear and third gear, well, you're going from first gear to third gear. Whoa.
Wow. Do you guys have words for any of those three people that just were follow-up words? Okay.
The who's laughing, the red hair, actually caught my attention too. What's your name?
Whitney.
I agree to the word that I really saw, see that your worship is going to up a level. I don't know whether you play any instrument, but definitely there's a higher level in worship, and you're going to be like a contagious to other people. It will spill through.
I kind of confirmed that too. When she, just before she said that, I just kind of saw you singing, sort of like proclaiming the Lord in like Whitney Houston a little. It's just the impact of Whitney. So it was just the singing and music.
And I was kind of seeing throne room worship over you. So why don't you stand up? Could you just stand up, Whitney, if you can, if you're able? Okay, so we just declare an open heaven over you. We declare that you're going up into the throne room. We declare that you're going to worship at the feet of Jesus and that you're going to see everything that the four living creatures see. You're going to be able to see him with your eyes and with the eyes of your heart, and you're going to bring that amazing, beautiful worship from heaven to earth. Whoa, everybody bless Whitney. Whoosh!
I also saw you coming into a new realm of dreams. I saw you God taking you further and further and deeper into the dream area. And you're going to have real specific revelations about people in your days and in your days to come and your weeks to come. I even saw you, they were speaking about your worship anointing. I see you in front of a lot of people and actually having dreams about those people even now. And you're going to, that's going to increase.
And also, Whitney, I'm reminded of teaching on worship that Don Potter had years ago, and he shared that the level of where you are as a worship person, leader, whatever, you're able to bring the crowd, the audience, the people to where you are in the Lord and take them even further. So there's just anointing on you, just automatically, that's on you. And it, you know, it all just brings down to your just abandonment to the Lord. And your friend next to you, what's her name? Narissa? Narissa? I just see you guys both just having accidental, it's kind of a funny word, accidental encounters, like just the overflow. And by any chance, have either one of you been watching the Lakeland thing with Todd Bentley? Okay, have you? Okay, I had this feeling. I don't even know you guys. I don't even know who you are. I've never seen you in my life. I just have this feeling that the Lord said you've been really taken in some good stuff. And you have this automatic overflow, and you're going to be like in restaurants and places and just having fun, overflowing in God. That's kind of funny. Gina's really prophetic. I mean, they all are, but I was about to hit you next, too. So. Oh, whoa. You guys are like anointed Lucy and Ethel. You know? I see that's ringing a bell, but you guys get into the craziest adventures, right? But what I want to tell you is even the mistakes you think you're making, they're really anointed. You know, God's taking you all over the place, and it looks like crazy eights paths. But he's got treasures for you to pick up all along the way and adventures for you guys to have. And you're going to be like, how do we get here and what are we doing? You know, and you're going to think it's really crazy, but you are seriously the anointed Lucy and Ethel. Just, Somebody pick them up off the floor.
Can we shift, or is it? So someone new. as I was sitting in my chair, Michael, who's visiting here, God highlighted you. And I feel like you have been choosing to open your heart more to God again lately. And that that there's a big shift coming. And it's a shift from serving to sonship in a greater way. In a greater way, you've already been a son, but there's a shift into that supernatural sonship that you've been yearning for. You've been willing to serve. You've been willing to be, you know, whatever is needed. You're willing, but there's I feel like there's an answer to the Father drawing you and you responding that there's a shift coming for you, and it's a really wonderful thing.
Just the word honor comes to me for Michael and Hope. That just see the Lord just kind of like Abraham and Sarah kind of thing, that you're very honored. And I sense that I've been getting the word chaos today, divine chaos, but God brings order. You know, like in the beginning, there was chaos and stuff. But even though it seemed like in past seasons that things were kind of crazy, but you know that he has brought some beauty. You know, he's really created wonderful things. You're very blessed, although there's been chaos. And the Lord just honors you. He's highlighting you. And you're going to enter a place. You're going to come to a point where you're almost going to be like a king and queen in a place. But because of the humility that was wrought through these hard times, you're going to be able to bear the weight of the crowns that he gives you and the places and the authority that you're going to be walking in. So we just honor you.
All right. Yes. I saw a roller coaster and that things that you've been going through. And I just saw you going up and down, up and down. And all of a sudden I heard the Holy Spirit say, blast off. And I watched the roller coaster launch off the tracks. And he said that the things that you're going through, he's going to use those things as a platform to launch you higher than you've ever been with the Lord. And you're going to see breakthrough like you've never seen it before in your life and in your family's life. And things that you've been pressing in and holding onto and holding firm to are just going to start releasing.
Sorry, guys. I'm really getting blasted here. But as soon as I hit the floor a while ago, I heard the name John really loudly. Is there any Johns here? anyone by the first name of John? Could you come up front, please? Is there any others? John? Okay, if you could stand right in front of those chairs right over there. Because you are royalty. Ah! Oh! So I'm supposed to fly them over here. Yeah! No more discouragement. No more abuse by the enemy. No more. No more. You are free. 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 And these are your colors of royalty. 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 I just see royalty just over and over and over again. Lord God, I just ask you to braid them with that royalty. Divine royalty from mighty God's throne. Royalty, royalty. That is who you are in Jesus' name. Who you are. May I touch you?
We're going to let her minister to them, and we're going to go on. So.
Yeah, and I just feel like this guy right here, John, in the flowered shirt, I feel like the Lord would say to you that you're not forgotten and that all of your needs are before the Lord, and he knows who you are. He knows who you are. You're not forgotten. He's watching you. He has you in the palm of his hand, and he's lifting you up, and he's... going to keep on lifting you up, and just know that he's on your side. All right.
I have a word for the woman in the blue right there. Yeah, you just turned around. What's your name?
Peggy.
I was struck actually when I was sitting over here by the blue of your shirt. Sometimes the Lord speaks to me with the clothing that people wear. And I was felt like he was saying that it's a season of blue skies, that the season of clouds and thunderstorms and tornadoes is over, that your portion is a season of blue skies. And then the woman here with the white shirt with the red, I'm having a shirt thing, but I saw a candy cane. And you know in the Chronicles of Narnia, when it says always winter but never Christmas, I feel like the Lord's saying your Christmas is coming. And I just saw presents wrapped under the tree. And it was like, you know, like the tree at the White House, it's huge. And the presents cover this lawn. And there are more than you could ask for or imagine.
I just want to add on to the word of Michael's. I feel like God wanted to let you know that he sees your heart as persevering, and what you have sown in tears, will you will be reaping in joy, and it's coming.
This is for the man sitting next to Robert. What's your name? Esaias? I kept looking at you, and I heard the word whole, and I believe the Lord just wants you to embrace that, and you're going to see it manifested in your life. As you just look to him and believe him, he's going to take care of everything. And Robert, I got something for you too. The Lord says, healing's easy. Healing is easy for you. So start stepping out and start believing the Lord will show up. And for Tammy and Pierre, I just saw blessings falling down all over and around you. It was just like this shower of it coming down on you.
Just real quick one for Victor. I looked over at you and I heard glory.
Wow.
Glory.
Wow.
I believe that you have been one that will settle for nothing less than God's manifest glory on the earth. And God is has answered and will answer with his glory, with you.
I have something for the crosses. So, I saw you guys on at a crossroad. I heard the Holy Spirit say, they're at a crossroad and they're wondering what to do in the physical. And I heard him say, wait. I felt like he said, wait. And I saw this delivery truck. There's two things. A delivery truck went by the crossroad and he dropped off a little package. And he said, I have something secret to give them, and it's going to come out in refreshment, and you're going to enter a new land that you've never had before. And the crossroads, really you thought it was for the physical, but it's the spiritual. God wants to take you to a new place in the spiritual realm before he releases the physical. And I saw you coming into this land of like milk and honey, and this land of refreshment, and this land of new places that you've never been, and exploration. And he just wants to let you know it's okay to rest. And it's okay because it's like you're at this crossroad and you're like, okay, we got to go. And there's some very valid things. And he says, and you go, but what's this cot for? There's this little cot on the side of the road. And you're like, what's this for? And that he says, it's time to rest. Come into my rest and come into the adventure that I have for you.
Wow, God. Okay, so I just found a nickel. And there's this song, it's old. It says, a penny for your thoughts, a nickel for a kiss, and a dime if you'll tell me that you love me. And anyway, I just think that's cool because God knows our love language. And so I find dimes all the time, and God's like, will you tell me that you love me? And so now he wants a kiss. So, so what I'm trying to say is, Tito, today in Alamo, when I was working at a hair salon, and I know you weren't in Alamo, I heard your laugh. I heard your laugh through the walls, and I go, Tito's here. So when I came in tonight and I heard the little circle and I heard Tito's laugh, and I want to encourage you that your laughter goes through walls and it hits and it goes through cities and there's a lingering. And so I just bless the laughter and the laugh that you have from God, and I ask that he would put an increase on it. Just keep going for Jesus.
Okay, and Leonelda, right? I'm sorry. I know you. I just like your name slipped my mind. Well, anyway, I got a word, and I didn't know what it meant. So now I know it's totally the Lord. It's a sweet word for you, but I just saw you just being shiny for God, and you were just a real. You're just one of his brides. You got the oil in your lamp. You're ready. You're a very seasoned, mature woman of God. And I got the word winsome. I'm like, what does a winsome mean? So I like how you said winsome.
Winning personality.
And people like to be around you. But God gave me that word because I didn't know what winsome meant. You know, it sounds like something out of Pride and Prejudice, winsome. But you have a winsome personality, your spirit. Yeah. So I just honor you and bless you. And I have a word for you. Heather.
Are you guys okay with this? Should we keep going, giving words? Okay. If you need to take a potty break or a pretty break, that's okay too. So just, yeah.
Heather, forgive me. I know your husband. I just forgot his name. Please forgive me.
What? Rick.
How do I say? Oh, Rick? Vic. I was going to say, hey, my husband's name is Rick. I should know your name. Okay, Vic, I just want to tell you that the blue that you're wearing is just so striking, and it's so deep, like deep waters. And I first got the word healing, and I just believe there's a great deal of healing that God wants to do on your heart that goes really deep, and only you and God know what that is. Questions that you have, just things you've wrestled with in the night seasons, just things about God, you know. There, you have these inquiries, you have these struggles and things, you know, just, and it's good. It's like a wrestling with God. I believe Jacob wrestled with God in the Bible. But I just want to affirm to you that you are here where you are living in the United States of America because God sent you here to be a blessing. You're a blessing to your family. You're a wonderful father. And you, also the blue is, I really believe you have a deep revelatory gifting, if you know what that means. Just like what we're doing up here, you have that. But you have almost just even more of a deeper specific gift of the deep things of God. Maybe something like a Daniel. You carry a really strong anointing, but I don't think you've really tapped into that. But simultaneously, while the Lord is healing you, and he does his healing and you're wrestling with him, you're going to start to understand what these giftings are. And I know you have this excitement inside you to give out and to bless and to be used, but there's just this wrestling you're doing with God, and it's going to be really wonderful.
This lady over here in the green, right there. What's your name?
I'm sorry?
Bernie? Well, what I see is maybe you're in a time of a season of impasse or a muted time of a lot of resistance, and just it's a hard time. So I feel like, yeah? So I feel like the Lord is putting you on a different road, and it's a bright road. And I see that he has angelic help for you, and it's to get to know him better. He has you on a road to get to know him better in a more majestic fashion. And the angels are there to help you. He has help for you. And so it's a time of change. It's a new time.
Bernie, was looking, I was trying to figure out what it is that God kept pointing out to me. And he wants you to know that he sees you. You're not forgotten. And I think the green you're wearing is probably has some significance with it. And it's a time of growth for you. It's a time of leaning into him and letting him show you some new things.
Yeah, you were being highlighted to me also, and I really feel like you have a mother's heart, and you're where you're supposed to be with God, and I just see the roots have really gone deep for you, really deep, and that's probably why he's seeing the growth coming. You have a very kind and gentle and loving heart, and God just loves your heart. He loves who you are, so I just bless, and I want to just release kind of more of a, also along that line, I felt like actually during worship I was seeing a picture that I felt like was for multiple people. What I was seeing was a picture of people like with dirty feet. Like a lot of you, I think, have been walking through a really, really hard time. And you felt like, I am doing everything I know how to walk through this thing, and I just don't know how to do this anymore. And I felt like I saw, you know, a lot of what you're trying to do is you're trying to worship God and you're trying to bless him. And you know how the How Mary came into when Jesus was having that meal, she came in and she started weeping over his feet and washing his feet with her hair and crying over her and kissing his feet. And what I was seeing was the Lord is coming to you tonight and saying, if you have done all you know how to do, it's your turn to receive his tears. He's weeping his tears over your feet. He is wiping your feet with his hair. He's washing you clean. If you have done all you know how to do, it's time to allow your heart, your hands to receive his ministering, his kisses, his touch. He washes you clean. He washes you clean. So I ask just for a freedom and a ability to sit and receive his ministering now. His ministering to you now. He's ministering to you now. You just need to open your heart up and let him weep over you, kiss you, touch you.
Wow, 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 wow.
Moving you out of the valley into the high places.
Can we do it after this part? We'll share that, okay? Thanks. Did you have... Are you done? Okay. I just want to give a general word for a second here. I just keep having the sense that there are a lot of people who feel dead in certain areas of their life. You know, whether it be their dreams or their callings or the things that they were passionate about. And if those things have been put on a shelf, or they feel dry to you now, or you just think that they're beyond your ability to walk in anymore, I just want to speak life to that. Total restoration and total life to that. Lachaim to that, which is a command. It is a command to come to life. So we're just prophesying to the breath of those dreams and saying, come to life. Come to life. Lachaim. 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 Now somebody's going to come tell me how to say that right, right? So it's Lachaim. 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 I'm sorry if that hurt your ears. Lachaim.
You have to clear your throat.
Okay, you want to start with the guy in the red? You want me to start?
Go ahead.
The guy in the red shirt on the back row.
Next to Fred.
What's your name? Andrew, what a good name. That's my husband's name. That's a great name. Andrew, we were just talking about you because we both keep seeing just the spirit on you. And I just wanted to say that as I'm looking at you, the word David's mighty man comes to mind. Yeah, they all agree. Apparently, they're all seeing the same thing. You're one of the mighty men. You're like one of the soldiers. You're one of the David's mighty men, but you're a worshiper and a warrior. A worshiper and a warrior. And it's just like you have a dual thing about you. It's like worship, war, war, worship. And then it just kind of all comes into one. So it's like, is that you? I mean, yeah. Okay. Yeah, but anyway, you just want to bless that. We just want to bless that and just thank God for that gift that you have. Because I feel like you do that for a lot of people. You stand in that place for a lot of people. You're a protector. And you go before people and you clear the way and you bring water for people. You're just really in that role of being David's mighty men. Thank you, God.
And I also kind of sense, I was looking at you earlier and I felt like the Lord wanted you to know that you are taller than what you think you are. You are kind of tall, but not that kind of tall. But that you're far more significant to the body of Christ than what you could ever imagine. And that you really do have, there's something special, very, very special about you, a special gifting, a special anointing that touches people. And the Lord wants you to know that you are a gift to the body, that you are a gift to the body of Christ. Not to forget that. All right. And then this gal that's walking towards the back right now over there in the green. And what's your name? Sandra. I feel like what the Lord wants to do, it's like he wants to release the waters behind Hoover Dam on you. It's like he wants to bring a refreshing. And so we just release that refreshing on you and to just take any dryness away and that you would just be a well-watered garden. More, Lord. And for anybody else that needs that, more on you right now. A flood. Thank you, Lord. Bless you. And then there's this gal right here in the white pink blouse. What's your name?
Sarah Jean.
Sarah? Yes. Sarah, I feel like the Lord is telling me that he hears your prayer, that you've been calling out for more. And more experience, you know, it's like, and I feel like the Lord says, I hear your prayer and that I believe that what he's going to do is he's going to give you more of just kind of a tangible experience of his presence, that he's going to make that happen to you and that he's going to come alive. It won't be just sometimes you feel him and sometimes you don't, but it's going to be like an all-the-time accessible presence of the Lord. And so what I want to do is I want everyone to stretch their hand to her right now. We just break down any barriers in Jesus' name. And we make that way. We make that way. We just plow into your heart. We plow into your heart and plant the presence, the tangible presence of the Lord, the experiential reality of God into your life and in your everyday life. Wherever you turn, you will see the presence of the Lord. You will hear his voice. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
In the polo shirt, light blue, with the white stripe. Archie, okay. I got the scripture. God's going to cause you to drink of the river of his delights. And I got a song. There's a party. This is around you. There's a party going on around here. A celebration to last throughout the year. So take your way. You're good. So anyway, there's a party going on around here. So just take it. Oh, take it. And one more. Okay. You have a little brooch or a jacket on, and you have pretty blondish hair. Yeah, I just, what is your name? I can't hear. Sharon. I just felt that Jesus, well, he really likes you, but really likes you. But I just felt like when you were a kid, there were certain, like a certain doll or something that you wanted. And I just feel like God said, you can have it. Like, you know, when we're little, there's just a toy or a doll you wanted to hold and you didn't have it. So Jesus, I just thank you that, and he just wants me to tell you he loves how your hair sparkles in the sun. And he's given you joy for all the sadness, and he still wants me to remind you that he has blessed the work of your hands, and he just adores you. And so Jesus, just take the deep sorrows and give her deep joy, and God is your latter years, get ready, because you're going to lay hands on people and you're going to see them recover, and even your voice has a healing quality to it. And I just am thankful that you're here. And tonight when I was sitting over there and I looked over at this section, I just go, oh, there's a lot of discouraged people sitting over there. Not that you can't be discouraged over here, but we can get courage in the Lord. And so just for everyone who's just feeling discouraged, that God's going to give you courage and he's going to take it, because to the degrees that we suffer with him, it says we get the comfort and we're sharing it with him. I don't know about you, but when I'm going through a hard time, knowing that Jesus is sharing it with me, you know, that's cool. And so, and I also want to say to those of you, the word of God, God says, read it and weep. The word is going to come alive. It's going to come in your flesh. And so I just, again, Father, just lift discouragement off the body. And if you guys don't know what to do during the week, go here day and night in the mornings. Go here, everybody at IHOP. But what I'm saying is, the prophetic word, when you hear it spoken over your land, when you hear it spoken and they're praying for leaders not to be discouraged, there's nothing like it. So I know I'm taking a long time, but God bless this house. Whew.
This gal right here in the glasses, in the green sweater, what's your name? Joanne. I feel like the Lord was just saying, giving me the word breakthrough and vindication for you. And that he's showing me that you've been like travailing in your heart. I think interceding. I'm not quite sure for what. I think there's been some heavy things, and he's saying a breakthrough is coming, and vindication is coming to you. All right.
Yeah, I have a word for you too. I don't know if this is right, but I saw I don't know if this is the right commercial, but I think it's a Starburst, and they put them in their mouth and their head just explodes. And I saw that you have that kind of joy that goes out and touches people. It's like you walk in the room and it penetrates and explodes and it's contagious. And the Lord has put that in you, and it's a real gift. And I just see people coming to you and saying, "What do you have? I need what you have."
Domely, when I looked at you, I saw this gigantic sword coming off of your head. I believe you got something, and it's going to impact your walk from here on out.
This lady in kind of a pinky red, yeah, you're looking at me. Yeah? Hi. I was just seeing you in a place of really deep intercession. I think you're in a season of really learning some deep things. And you may not know fully, I feel like you're not even sure, maybe all the things you're learning. And I feel like it's like God is writing his own book in you. Things you couldn't even go to a book and learn for yourself. Do you know what I mean? Like how to. And are you an intercessor? I just felt like that's really, that you're learning new things, like how you intercede before the King, how you do it, because you have such a unique and wonderful relationship. I just want to bless the uniqueness of your relationship with Him, that it doesn't have to look like anybody else, and He's going to teach you directly.
Yeah.
So much about just your relationship and being with Him. That's the intercession. He's calling you to just being with Him, just hanging with Him. It goes far deeper than words, and He's going to teach you all that stuff that's deeper than words. Like a spirit of understanding is coming upon you.
What is your name? Molly? Okay. I was also seeing you. I saw you in a library sitting and reading books of wisdom that God had written. And like Susan was saying, learning directly from Him. And one of them, the title of was How to Agree with Me by God. So, How to Agree with capital M-E. So yeah, you can ask Him for that. And I think that that's just ready to be downloaded into the iPod of your heart. So.
We're going to break up into groups for that, too.
Okay. We're going to do a couple more words, and then we're going to give a couple of general words, and then we're going to have different groups of people pray for you for different things, so hang on. Take a deep breath. Okay, everybody taking a deep breath of the Holy Spirit. Hold it. You can do that again. You don't need my permission. You can. Okay, a couple more words.
Okay, Dale, I heard... I saw this really cool picture. I saw a flower growing out of the ground. And then I went, what's that? And then all of a sudden I saw you poking out of the ground, like jumping out of the ground. And you had this brilliant smile on your face and your hands are going up. And I said, God, what's that? He's like springing out of the ground. And he said, I'm using this man to produce fruit wherever he goes and to bring life and growth to people around him through his lifestyle and through your joy and through your peace and just who you are. And I felt like God's opened your eyes to start to see the breakthrough you already are seeing. And I just speak eyes wide open to you. Eyes wide open. I break off any condemnation that has been coming against you in Jesus' name. Any attacks at enemy saying you have no impact, that is broken in Jesus' name, and that you are having a huge impact. You may feel hidden, you may feel like you're underground, but God is taking you, springing you out of ground, and showing and bringing other people into fullness.
Okay, like it, go ahead, and then we've got some.
The lady with the peach. What's your name?
Heike.
Heike. I heard the guy said that hope deferred make the heart sick, but longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And I feel like God is really passionate about wanting you to know that he's passionate about you fulfilling your dreams, and he knows your dreams, and you're not being passed by, you're not being forgotten. And I feel like God is releasing a spirit of revelation about the Father's love, and it's increasing, and you're going to flow out of it because of the Father's love. And your dreams are very important for him, so push away the hopelessness and continue to dream, because God wants to use you. Even though you seem like quiet and you don't fit in the norm of charismatic, that kind of hype, but there's a deep well inside you, and you're wild in God's eyes, and he wants to use you. So pursue your dream.
We're doing group words now. Do you have one for everybody, for the whole group?
Yeah, I was seeing in the realm of gifting, actually, something that God was doing. In the realm of gifting, I think there's a number of us who think, well, I'm just kind of a generic Christian. You know, God loves me. He really loves me. But my gifting kind of goes about to here. And I feel like you've seen your gifting as sort of a kind of a cardboard box in brown paper wrapping, you know, just kind of a generic, not anything to get very excited about. But God wants you to open up that box and see what he's put in you. He is very excited about. None of you in this room is a generic Christian. None of you has a generic gift mix. I just want to ask the Lord to come right now and just put upon you whatever it is right now that's coming to the surface that you said, I wish I could do that. That's God. I just want to bless that as God's heart in you right now, bringing that up to that surface, the thing that was in your heart that I wish I could do this more than anything else. Okay, God, I ask you just to break any false humility off us that yes. makes us think that's pride. That is not pride. That is the heart of God for you. So I just bless your spiritual eyes to even see that brown paper box right now and open it up. Open the lid and reach down inside and take a look. Just look what he's giving you now. The garments he's given you to wear. The gifting he has laid upon you, who you do and what you do in the kingdom of God does not look like anybody else. I just want to break off those generic rags that we've tolerated upon ourselves and recognize that how you do the prophetic, how you teach, how you heal, how you evangelize is uniquely yours, and it's perfect, and it fits your personality. It fits the who of who you are. You don't look like anybody else. How you wear Jesus is uniquely yours, and I just want to bless that upon you in the name of the Lord.
While I was standing here, I was seeing a big cloud over everyone. This big cloud... Bill commented on it, and I saw lightning bolts striking down in the room, and I saw, Holy Spirit, what's that? And I looked, and they were striking like locks, like bolts, like for big chains. And I said, God, but we're already free. And he says, that's exactly right. I'm striking things that already are open, already are free, but people have not gotten revelation to it. And I bring power and authority and revelation that you are already free in these areas that you feel bondage in and you feel held in. So right now, I want you to just take a moment and receive that. He's doing it right over around the room right now. So Holy Spirit, we agree with what you're doing in the room. Say more. Bring revelation to what we're already free in. Specific truths into our heart, God. things that we say we can never get past that. We can never, we have to live with that our whole life. That pain, that hurt, that disease, that whatever it is. God, I ask you to bring truth to that in Jesus' name. We agree with what you're doing more, Lord. And right over here in this, my right, your guys' left, there's an angel over there. And I felt like there's healing all on my right side, from my head to my toe. I really sensed, especially, I felt in my shoulder area and my neck, there's healing going on over there on the right side. If you need healing, just ask for from Papa. He's releasing it, especially over there. We say yes and amen. As we just go on, say yes and amen to the Holy Spirit. Say yes, I receive your truth. I receive what you're doing. Reveal to me what you want to reveal to me. Just say more healing over there in Jesus' name. More, Lord. And if you're going, well, what about me? Pray for them. Pray for the release of healing for them. And watch it overflow to you. As God is touching people over in that section. Watch it overflow. Daddy never leaves anyone out. He highlights people to so he can bless the masses. So if you have pain on the right side, especially your shoulder, your neck, but anything on your right side, we want to agree with what God is doing over there. So I want you to raise your hand, and some people are going to pray for you. Shua. So if you're around them, I want you to lay hands on them and just agree with what God is doing in their life. That could be hearing. That could be some pain on the right hand, teeth, pain in your arms, legs, diseases, whatever. Feel the waves come through the room. It's like as you're praying, the Holy Spirit sweeping across the room. It's this little calm breeze. It's not just the air conditioning. It's this calm breeze in the room. Some people are picking up fragrance of the Lord in the air. So as you're picking up, just agree with it. Say yes to what the Holy Spirit's doing. We're not about one man or the team or anything like that. About agreeing with the Holy Spirit. As we agree, he's going to come stronger and stronger in this room.
Some of you might be asking, what is he doing with me? What is he doing with me? He's preparing new wine. I feel like bursting. I feel like cracking. He's preparing a new drink. Ha ha. Ha ha. So many may come and taste of him. Ha ha. He's going to pour himself out through you. He's mixing and making the new wine.
Just really feel like the Lord was just
felt like the Lord was just showing me that he wants to, I keep getting the word worry, and there's just, I feel like the Lord has been showing me that many of you here, and I think in general, we're kind of dogged by worry. It's just always nipping at our heels at one time or another, and I feel like the Lord wants to break that. I feel like, whoa, it's already going. Just receive. I'm going to just pray. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come right now and that you would just take worry off of people in Jesus' name. We break the power of worry and we replace it with faith. We replace it with faith. I lose faith right now in Jesus' name. I feel like the Lord is showing me that some of you just kind of grew up in a spirit of fear all your lives, in a household of fear. And we just break off that fear. We break off any soul ties or family members that lived in fear, and we lose that faith. And I feel like the Lord would say to you, I never meant for you to carry so much on your shoulders. I never meant for you to suffer so much. I never meant for you to just grind your teeth at night and suffer from insomnia, losing sleep and losing peace and peace of mind and losing rest. I've always meant for you to walk in peace. I lose peace on you right now. I lose peace. I lose a spirit of well-being on every single one of you right now. Spirit of well-being. Spirit of well-being. Deep inside. Thank you, Lord. I feel like the Lord is just kind of going all the way to the moment you were born, and you were born into this world where it's just been so heavy, and he's ministering to that inner infant right now. Thank you, Jesus. I feel like the Lord is just peeling off. He says, I'm peeling off layers or years of worry. I'm just peeling that off of you right now. It's like been like a film over your life. I'm just peeling it off right now. More. 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 Thank you, Lord. And I feel like the Lord is showing me that what's going to be left is just baby skin. He's just removing the calluses that have built up over the years. Whoa. I feel like he's going to bring a sensitivity into your life like you've never known before. I feel like the Lord is showing me, he says, you've been so calloused by fear and anxiety. He says, but now I'm going to make you sensitive. Sensitive to my presence. Thank you, Lord. More. 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 I lose flexibility. I lose flexibility. I lose flexibility. I break off just being serious about everything. Whoa! Whoa! I lose that spirit of joy, of just freedom. Of just freedom. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just repeat after me. That was easy.
That was easy.
Can I have the rest of the ministry team come up? Can I have Sue? Can I have the rest of the ministry team guys that I talked to earlier, Tammy? Can you guys come up, the rest of you guys? And any of the other core leaders or kingdom training leaders who want to come up and pray for people? We're going to, Gina's going to sing a prophetic word over us. And so if the rest of my ministry team could come up here, people who can come and pray. If you want to be drawn into a deeper relationship with God, into a deeper place, come see Susan. And she's just going to impart that because she's so good at it. and I bless it. And so if you guys want prayer for anything or just further ministry, we're going to be up here to do that. So you guys just come ahead. Any of the other, you know who you are, regular ministry team people. Look at them all sitting down over there. Patricia, can you guys, Deanna, can you guys come back and do ministry team stuff? All right. And I'm just going to say bless you guys. You're free to go whenever you like. You can, you know, stay, hang out, bless each other, pray for each other. Come up to the front and get prophetic words or ministry. Yeah, come on up. Thank you, guys.
I can feel him hurt.